A little hot. Bob, it's a little high, it's a little loud. Can you turn it down a bit? Thank you. Okay. I'm going to be reading Luke 2, 8 through 20. And I don't know about you, but I kind of learned these passages from the King James Version. And so it's familiar to me. I like the words. And so I'm going to read it from the King James Version. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from heaven, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So what is joy? We use it interchangeably with happiness. Joy is much more than happiness. As you may have heard, happiness is based on happenstance, on your reaction to an event, on a current happening. It can be fleeting, temporary, connected with only the present time. Joy has nothing to do with an event. It is a feeling inside of peace, well-being, warmth, and sometimes giddiness that can only come from God. In one of the commentaries I read, it said, joy is the explosive change that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, minds, and lives that transforms who we are and every aspect of how we live. It often has very little or nothing to do with what's going on in your life. Let me tell you a little story. When my mother was on hospice, one day I was driving down O Street, running some errands. It was a bright, sunny day in October. The car was warm inside. The air was crisp with the promise of fall. And I was incredibly sad because I was about to lose my mother. All of a sudden, I was filled with joy. I can't describe what it felt like, but it kind of swept through me like a wave. I was filled with a sense of peace and wonder at the goodness of God. I felt uplifted. I felt joy. It felt so right and so wrong at the same time. How could I be joyful when I was about to lose the most important person in my life? But I was. God brought me joy when I needed it. It made the next few days and weeks bearable. I try to imagine what the shepherds felt that night. I have looked up what the temperatures are like in Bethlehem. And it never really gets cold by our standards. The summers are very hot, and the winters are cool and rainy, with temperatures in the upper 50s and low 60s. The tradition of cold and snow is something we've added to the scene because that's what we experience in December when we celebrate Jesus' birth. But if you are used to temperatures of over 100 degrees in the summer, which some of the Korean can identify with, 60 degrees feels cold. So I will concede the shepherds were feeling cold. When I lived in Florida, people would wear coats and gloves and hats when the temperatures were in the 50s. To be fair, it did occasionally get into the 60s, but that's put the orange growers in a panic. So anyway, the shepherds are sitting in the field, probably sitting on logs or rocks, watching the sheep sleep. It was dark, it was clear, and the stars were bright and abundant. And it was quiet. Suddenly, they were scared to death. Not only were things loud, but there was an angel in the air. I'm sure none of them had seen an angel before, and they had no idea what was going on. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid." Too late. Easy for her to say, right? I can't imagine how bright the sky became, and overwhelming. First there was one angel, and then there were many. The scripture says a multitude of the heavenly hosts. I don't know what a multitude is, but I'm guessing it's more than you can count. I think I'd be looking for a place to hide. And when I'm startled or scared, I find it hard to concentrate or to listen. But the angel had a message for them. The angel told them of the birth of the Messiah. That was big news. The Jews had been waiting a long time for the Messiah. But wait, this was a baby in a manger? Where was the warrior they had expected? And this child was going to bring joy to the world? What did that mean? I'm sure the shepherds could have used a bit of joy at that time. So off they went to see what the angels were talking about. Maybe they had misunderstood. Maybe this isn't what the angels had meant. Well, they were going to see for themselves. The scriptures say they went to Bethlehem with haste. The word haste is not just about speed, but it has an element of urgency about it. So the shepherds felt they needed to get to Bethlehem urgently, quickly. The scripture also doesn't say what happened to the flocks they were watching. Did they bring them along? Did they leave them in the field unattended? Did a few people stay behind to watch them? The Bible doesn't say. So we are allowed to speculate. I'm guessing that after the angels left, the shepherds didn't even think about the sheep. They just got up and ran to Bethlehem. The angel said this baby would bring joy to the whole world. That sounded impossible. Bethlehem at the time was an occupied city under Caesar Augustus, and they were all very poor. Commentaries say that the people most likely lived in or around caves, but the land was fertile and the crops grew well. But nothing was very happy, let alone joyful. Most of their produce and animals went to Jerusalem for use in the temple. So this world could have used a little joy, or maybe a lot. This was an eye for an eye type of world. They had not heard of love your neighbor, let alone love thine enemy. They had not heard to turn the other cheek. This was a world of survival. So let's turn to us today and our circumstances. We live in a time of division and fear. One day we're told the economy is great, the next we're heading for a recession. Prices are rising, happiness is at a premium, and joy is almost nowhere to be found. In James 1, 2 through 3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." This reminds me of a saying that says, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." I saw a sweatshirt that said, "I don't want to go through things that won't kill me but make me stronger anymore." Who can identify with that? I'm done with producing perseverance. It's challenging to think of being joyful in hard times. You've lost your job, You've lost a loved one. You have money problems, or mental health problems, or family problems. These feel like the opposite of joy. But the experience of mine that I told you about earlier shows that joy can happen when you least expect it. Because Scripture says, "My joy comes from the Lord." As believers, we are to trust in the Lord and not the world. Sometimes this is easier said than done. Nothing's easy. The news tells us all the bad things that are happening, most of which we have no control over. But they affect our lives and our world. Bob and I have stopped watching the news because it does not bring us joy. It brings us anxiety, sadness, and despair. It's not that we're sticking our heads in the sand like an ostrich. It's that we don't need to be bombarded with all the bad things that show up on the news. There are times when I think I'm in charge of my life. That often doesn't work out too well. Then I remember it is God who is in charge, and that I often get in the way of the plans He has made for me. When I let God be in charge, I can experience joy in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I don't know if any of you remember when I was doing the children's message a few years ago, and this verse from Thessalonians was the lesson. I had Wayne run a video of baby lambs hopping around. Do you remember that? Up and down on hay bales, expressing such joy. They were joyful just to be alive and be full of energy. Their joy was contagious and made everybody smile. I think we can take a lesson from them. In our passage, the shepherds hurry to Bethlehem to see what the angels are talking about. At this point, they were curious, but after they saw the baby and Mary, they were filled with joy and ran around Bethlehem telling everyone about their experience. The people of the town were amazed at what they said, and most likely who was saying it to them. That's what joy does to you. You want to share it, to proclaim it. And then what did the shepherds do? They returned to their sheep. But they continued to praise and glorify God. The joy stayed with them. It's not fleeting like happiness can be. I imagine that these shepherds were never the same. I'm sure they experienced bad days and hard times, but their memory of seeing the baby Jesus and what God had done for them would see them through just about anything. God's joy sustained them. So over the past 3 weeks, we have talked about hope, peace, and now joy. These are all feelings, states of being, deep emotions that we all experience. But the common thread is that they all come from a belief and trust in Christ Jesus. We experience hope, peace, and joy because He came as a tiny baby to change the world. Because He has prepared a place for us in heaven, and because He will come again. Let us pray. Loving God, our hearts rejoice as we remember the good news of great joy brought by the angels that first Christmas night. Thank You for the gift of Your Son, who brings joy to all who receive Him. Fill us with a deep and abiding joy that is not shaken by circumstances, but rooted in the assurance of Your love and salvation. Help us to share this joy with others, especially those who are hurting or lonely. May the light of Christ's joy shine brightly in our lives as we prepare for His coming. In Your precious name, amen.